The General Services Administration may have just put the first nail in a coffin that will eventually bury the widespread use of lowest cost, technically acceptable, or LPTA contracts. The Government Accountability Office's decision to deny four protests of the Alliant 2 contracts, now these are for IT services, could end up being a landmark decision in the agency and vendor desire to limit use of LPTA. In his weekly feature, The Reporter's Notebook, executive editor Jason Miller writes about what GAO's decision means for the $65 billion government-wide acquisition contract, again, Alliant 2. Jason joins me now to discuss, and without getting overly legalistic here, what has GAO done?
Well, it's interesting. They denied the four protests from Sevatech, InfoReliance, Enterprise Information Services, and Buchanan and Edwards. So they all protested very similar things. And what GAO does is they kind of push them all together into one major protest. And all four companies said the proposal valuations and the number of awards GSA wants to make, which is 60, is unfair, or they don't like the evaluation factors. And long story short, and we have a link to the GAO decision on federalnewsradio.com. It's not very long, so if someone wants to read it, they can go there and find all the specifics. But basically, what GAO did was deny all of their protests, saying we don't find what GSA did wrong, or going against the Competition and Contracting Act, or going against any kind of previous rulings that GAO made. And what's interesting is that and why this is important, Tom, is GSA is using the approach of points. Here's the evaluation factors. Assign yourself so many points. We're going to take the top 60 with the most points, and those are going to be the contract awardees. And price is not a major factor, and that's the key here, where for years and years and years, everyone focused on who has the lowest price, yet still technically acceptable or highest acceptable. And what GSA said here is we just want the best score among all these factors, and price is one of those factors, but not the or a main or one of the top two factors. And I think that's the key piece here.
So price is still mattering. I mean, you still have to look at price.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't mean it gets all of the points or more points than something else about how good your company is or the technical approach you're taking.
Right. And what the concern from the lawyers, the experts I've talked to, is the pendulum has swung so far, if you will, toward lowest price technically acceptable. Who really has the lowest price, and can they meet our requirements? That the vendors just hated it. And in fact, I talked to Barbara Kanosky, managing partner of the Center Law and Consulting Group, and she had a great quote, Tom. She says, now GSA can say, give us the USDA steak instead of the convenience store mystery meat. Because under LPTA, the idea here is, yes, it's steak is steak, so what does it matter? Just is it the lowest cost one? And what she's saying now we can give you actually the higher grade, because cost is not as important as it was previously under many, many other contracts.
Well, I think this decision seems to go along with the idea that when you're buying services, there's a lot more to it than price, because you're basically buying intellectual property in an applied way, as opposed to buying wedding
pens
cakes
or pencils or whatever, right? I think you're absolutely right, but because agencies and the pendulum had swung so far toward LPTA, I mean, let's just take the Defense Information Systems Agency, DISA. They had the Encore 3 contract. Again, IT services, multiple award, big contract. And they were trying to go LPTA down that path. And industry has pushed back several times on this. And really, I got a quote from John Kavitas from GSA's senior contracting officer for Alliant 2. And he says, listen, we understand how important this is, because the government has traditionally conducted price and cost analysis. And really what this decision by GAO and the approach that Alliant 2 is taking now really provides for innovation across this marketplace, much in a different way than ever seen before.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. And so what does this mean then going ahead for vendors and agencies?
Well, I think it means, number one, it gives agencies that, hey, we can do evaluations differently. It doesn't always have to be based on lowest cost or even just cost at all. I mean, cost has to be a factor, but not the factor or in the top two factors. And I think it gives agencies that now there's a GAO decision on the books, the legal precedence to say, look, we can follow their path. For vendors, it also gives them the ability to say, hey, here's a GAO decision that said, even if we are higher cost, we are bringing you more value. And it gets them closer to that idea of best value. Is it going to work for every single procurement? No, of course not. Some are going to be based on cost and lowest cost, and some will be based on cost matters the most. But for a lot of these, as you pointed out, these services type contracts where they were still trying to push toward lowest cost, I think this ruling really helps both agencies and vendors have a better stance on pushing for value.
And this applies to both Alliant 2 Unrestricted and Alliant 2 Small Business?
Absolutely. And now that these protests are out the door and they're decided, the question, of course, is when will GSA make their decision? And it's unclear when they will. Mary Davey, who is the assistant commissioner in the IT category office, new name, she wrote on posted on a Twitter account on January 13th that they're now proceeding with evaluations and award. And remember, Tom, this Alliant 2 has been going on since June 26th, so it's we're pushing over 6 months.
All right, so this could be open for business then maybe in the first quarter, would you say?
Or probably the May-June timeframe.
And Alliant 1 was pretty popular.
It's done very well. Something like 59 companies won back in 2009, the unrestricted 72 small business firms, and they've done billions of dollars worth of work through that contract.
Also, Jason, you're writing about Section 508, that venerable access policy, and that's undergoing rewrite too.
First rewrite in 17 years. Now, Tom, I'm gonna throw a little a quiz at you here. In 2000, what was the hot technology? And don't tell me Y2K, because I know you were in an airplane on Y2K. But what was the hot technology? Just give me one idea.
Oh golly, I think screen readers.
Screen readers. So that may have been one, but LG put out one of the first quote-unquote smartphones that had a monochrome touchscreen with an address book and an organizer.
I probably have one in my drawer somewhere.
You have your PDA. PlayStation 2 had just come out, and the goal, the exciting there was CDs and DVDs. So as you can tell, we've
come a
bit of a long way since 2000 when the first 508 rules came out. And the U.S. Access Board, it took them a long time, but there's a reason behind it. And again, we have a link to the new proposed rule up on federalnewsradio.com. And long story short is they really tried to do two things. They tried to be specific, but also general. They didn't want to drive people down a specific path to say, you must do this. But for this type of technology, here are the standards you need to consider, and here's the approach you need to work into your ensure that people with disabilities have access, can use the technology. And they've also broadened it. And this was with the help of lots and lots of people, industry, people with disabilities, standards organizations from around the world, even other countries. Japan and Australia also took part in the development of these standards.
And the technology has come a long way in those years. There's mice that give tactile feedback. There's all kinds of screen readers.
Absolutely.
Screen displays are way better.
Much, much better. And I think that's what they're trying to bake into this new rule, so that it's not just you must do A, you must do B, you must do C, but you must do this so it meets this goal. And I think that's less prescriptive, but more understanding of 17 years of really, in some ways agencies have struggled with 508. Some were better than others. They still, back in 2013, OMB put out a memo saying, don't forget to add it to procurements. Here we are, it's 13 years later, there's still agencies still were not ensuring 508 was including procurement. So this has been a long, long path that agencies have been traveling.
Well, maybe we'll have a rule against 6-point gray type on websites.
That would be nice. And plain English, please.
You bet. Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, thanks so much for that update.
Always a pleasure, Tom.
And his notebook is online now at federalnewsradio.com.